Lemieux. The center penalty coming up. Look at Lemieux. Oh, my heavens. What a goal. What a move. Lemieux. Oh, baby. Gary Curry. McSorley. To Gretzky. Scores. He did it. He did it. The greatest goal scorer in National Hockey League history. Scores. A magnificent goal.
He's been going in on goal. He shoots.
Yo, 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 what's up, everybody? Welcome back to the Razzball Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Viz, interesting past 24 hours.
Yeah, it's been a rough start to the week. I mean, going back even to Monday, Sabres get killed, Bills get screwed / lose late. And, you know...
And I lost my waiver claim on Chris Ivory in fantasy football. That's where you're going with that one, right?
Yeah.
That was the next one on the list?
And, you know, I was somewhat paying attention during the middle of the day. Yesterday I was playing a poker tournament, so I was just tracking Twitter and tracking the betting lines. And it was about, I want to say, 6 or 7 o'clock when Hillary was about minus 1,200 on the betting market. And I saw an update like 30, 40 minutes later that all of a sudden it was minus 350, and I'm wondering why all this money's coming in. And then it was close to even and about another hour later. And then I got a message from my friend who was paying like super close attention to everything, and he's just like, he's going to win. I mean, Florida swung it, and he won most of the other swing states too. It was pretty crazy. So, I mean, well, we're here to try to give a reprieve from the politics. We don't hammer on it, but I mean, I'm still in complete shock.
Yeah. There's really not much to say.
Not at this point.
No.
He lost the, you know, he lost the
popular vote. Yeah,
it's sick. Like, it's the second time that's happened now in, you know, this millennium, you know, and it's pretty crazy to think about. I mean, I always said nowadays with, you know, technology and everything, the Electoral College, it's even more useless than it already was. Like, it helps back in the day. It was easier for, you know, a state to report what happened and, you know, they know them the next morning. Now, with everything updated by the minute, almost, like, there's just no reason why a vote should count more or less in different states than it does. And the Electoral College just is, I don't know, it just seems like a complete waste to me. I don't even really get what they're going for with it. Like, yes, there are more people voting in New York, per se, and that's why it's worth more, but a person's vote is a vote in this country, and I don't know. I don't want to get going on a tangent because I'm still, like, shooken up by this almost. I'm going to the Sabres game tonight. I'm hoping that takes it off my mind at least for a couple hours.
Yeah, I'm going to the liquor store after we record this, so hopefully that'll take my mind off of it a little bit.
Oh, man.
Yeah, I think we're both on the same mindset right now of trying to take our mind off of it. But let's try and help our viewers, I keep saying viewers. Eventually, we're going to have to start doing like a video with this. But let's get the listeners a little bit of a reprieve here. Let's talk about a little bit about the action from Tuesday night, since that was a big slate of games.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just hop right into the big one. Winnipeg wins 8-2 over Dallas. We knew it was going to be a high-scoring game, but you know, you kind of thought it would be a little bit more even in the scoring.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting a 8-ball corner pocket from the Jets. And yeah. It wasn't even close. Like,
no.
It was 6-1 going into the third, like, just a complete
domination. And, again, we're going to keep talking about this top line because they keep producing. But, holy mother of God, are Scheifele, Laine, and Ehlers just on an absolute tear right now?
Yeah, this is amazing. I mean, Line A, I mean, we're saying after Matthews even scored 4 goals the first game that I still like Line A to outproduce him this year. I mean, he's got 2 hat tricks now already. It's been 14 games. Leads the league in goals. He got 11 goals. Like, it's just incredible what he's doing at, you know, 18 years old. He finished yesterday, just filled up the box score. 3 goals, assist, 4 shots, 2 penalty minutes, plus 3. Scheifele had another 4-point game. Congrats to you on the second win in the 3-point challenge.
Hey, at least we won something. So
yeah. Allers had 2 more assists. It's just unreal what those guys are doing right now. And, you know, they didn't even get the big minutes that they normally do. Line only played 14:43, but, I mean, he had the hat trick halfway through the game already.
Right.
You know, it's remarkable what these guys are doing at this point. Makes me happy because I was the highest on Scheifele by a mile, the highest on Ehlers by a mile on Fantasy Pros, and I was second on Laney. I don't expect Laney to lead the league in goals. But on the other hand, I don't see him slowing down at all. I think he's easily a top 50 player. Scheifele is easily a top 20 player. Ehlers probably in the 50 to 75 range. I mean, I'm looking at it now. I had him 90th going into the year. There was one guy, Chris Meany, had him 116. No one else had him higher than 159th. And it makes me happy because I know a lot of the commenters are saying they have Ehlers because I was so much higher on him. And, I mean, it's been a great start. I mean, it's weird. Wheeler ended up with 1 assist. Buff didn't get any points, but he did get 7 penalty minutes, which I said I thought was going to be coming. He doesn't have a goal yet, which is strange, but he's had 39 shots. He's got 8 assists, and he's got 17 penalty minutes, which puts him on 100 penalty minute pace. So, you know, he has 1 decent stretch and fixes itself. Wheeler, he's got 10 points, over 3 shots a game, 12 penalty minutes. Like, it's not great right now, but I mean, I'm not worried about him. I'm not trying to sell low on him or anything.
No, not at all.
For Dallas, like, are you worried about these guys more so? I mean,
I think
obviously the goalies were a mess, and that's, you know, we know that they are. But, I mean, Ben has been struggling, but Sagan's up to 7 goals, 7 assists. He's been fine. I mean, he was minus 4.
I felt that one in the Roto Leagues.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Roussel had another assist, 5 shots and 9 penalty minutes. I mean, it was a power play assist, too.
Those, you know what those
you gotta hold him right.
Those
you
are the Scott Hartnell. That's the Scott Hartnell stat line that we were expecting, and we talked about on the last podcast,
right,
that we were expecting to get from Hartz.
I mean, he's got 6 points and 40. He's already got 47 penalty minutes in 13 games. Like, you have to hold him right now if he's playing 17 minutes and getting power play time.
Yeah, you really do.
Yeah, I mean, Eves, we'll talk about him later because he's an interesting case. Edmonton, Pittsburgh did not really go as I expected. I thought, all the focus was on McDavid and Crosby, and rightfully so. And McDavid had 3 points 3 minutes into the second period, which I thought, you know, they would do a better job shutting him down, but sometimes you can't contain a talent like him. Congrats to Matt and Shitwolf. I believe they're the 2 who took McDavid to get 3 points, where Crosby gets 0, but the Penguins end up winning. Connor Sheary scored twice, only played 12:41. Are you streaming? Are you holding?
I think I'm going to hold on Sheary.
I mean, he's got 6 points the last 5 games now.
Yeah.
Granted, that goes back to,
okay,
to before an injury, but he's been back for 2 games now. He had 2 points in each of them.
Yeah, I'm going to hold on Sheary. I have confidence that he'll move back up to the top line and get more consistent ice time with Crosby. I mean, we can't overlook the 6 points in 5 games. He's been playing very well.
And I mean, it's telling in itself that he was out there with less than 2 minutes left to score the game-winning goal.
Yeah.
I mean, that right there just shows the kind of faith that Sullivan has in him.
Yeah, I mean, we always talk about time on ice and shots. Like, those are big indicators of future success. And they're both going well for Connor Sheary. I think you kind of have to hold him right now.
Yeah, I mean, the shots aren't great on the season. I mean, he had 3 yesterday, which is good to see. I mean, he only has 8 and 6 games, but, I mean,
it's the time on ice. I mean, if you're going to assist, yeah, it's not like you're shooting
the
puck.
The more he plays, the more he's going to shoot, too.
Right.
I mean, it's only natural. So, I mean, do you want to talk about Maroon now, or do you want to wait?
No, let's just get right into Patty Maroon.
Okay,
he was in your write-up. Yeah, actually, let me take this one, because I was up. I didn't really sleep last night, people. I'm sure you can take a guess why that happened. I was up late last night reading Viz's recap from the Tuesday games. Patrick Maroon skating on the first line with Everly and McDavid. I mean, I think I said it during the Pacific preview. I didn't like the Milan Lucic signing at all.
Mm-hmm.
They essentially just signed another Patrick Maroon, but an older, more worn-down Patrick Maroon when they signed Lucic. So Maroon skates on the top line in the place of Lucic and performs.
Yeah,
I think that's going to be more of a recurring theme. I believe it was Lucic was playing with RNH.
He was with Drysdale and somebody who's not that good, Pitlick.
Okay. Oh, God, Pitlick. Okay. Maroon has to be a hold. If whoever's skating on that top line for Edmonton, if it's Pitlick on the top line, he's a streamer.
Mm-hmm.
Maroon, I think's a hold because he also brings penalty minutes with you.
Right.
By you, I mean him. He brings the PIMs as well. And I think he's going to get some more opportunities. Again, McDavid is actually off to a slower start than I would have thought he would have been on. And I believe there were a couple NHL pundits on Twitter saying it's just a matter of time before a big game for McDavid. Then you have his 3-point night. Right. Is that the 17 points in 14 games?
Yeah, I mean, that's about where I expected it. I'm a little surprised the shots aren't higher than they are.
The shots are alarmingly low for me. I don't like
it.
I mean,
he's over 2.5 a game. It is still above average. I just thought he was going to jump to like the 3 to 3.25 range. So he's putting on like 250, 260. He's got to avoid the games. Like the game before Pittsburgh, he played Detroit and didn't have a shot. Like he's just got to cut those games out and it'll be fine. Yeah, I'm with you on Maroon. I mean, he had a good stretch last year where he was playing very well with Hall and Drysdale, I believe. Goal assist, 4 shots, 2 penalty minutes. Played almost 19 minutes. I would hold him for now, too. I mean, just playing with those guys is good enough. And he had stretches where he was his top streamer with the Ducks, too, when he played with Getzlaff and Perry. Like, there's some talent there. And at the least, you're going to get a penalty minute boost. On the other hand, no surprise, Klefbom and Larson were disasters, -3. But Leon Draisaitl was -4. He was on for every goal against. He's starting to get towards the fringe. I had a couple people ask him about me in the comments. He's got 8 points in 14 games, but he only has 25 shots and 2 penalty minutes. He only had 20 last year, so he's not going to be a good penalty minute guy. I mean, he's on a 50-point pace, which is the same as last year. I just kind of expected a step forward from him. And getting to play with Milan Lucic isn't going to help matters either. So I'm starting to get a little worried about him. I don't know about you.
About Lucic?
About Drysdale.
Oh, yeah, I'm a little bit worried about him. I saw on Twitter someone suggested the Obama family leaving Upper Deckers in every White House bathroom. And I could not take my attention away from that. Sorry about that, everybody. So Drysdale, interesting. We all thought when McDavid went down last year, we all thought, okay, this team's gonna suck, and then Drysdale steps up. Offseason, we're all talking about, oh, well, now they have the two-headed monster.
Mm-hmm.
And very disappointing. Just
I don't know if he's just not ready for to play center full time. Like, he took off on the wing last year, and I don't know if that's part of it or not. I don't know. It's interesting. They don't really have anybody else to play center right now because Lander hasn't been any good. Letestu can center, you know, one of the bottom six lines, but they don't really have anyone else for the other one. It was RNH, which I didn't think made any sense. I don't know, like, getting to play with Lucic and Pitlick isn't going to help matters at all. I'm still holding for now, but it's starting to get closer, and I didn't think there was any chance he would even be, you know, on the fringe at all this year.
Yeah, it's definitely something to keep an eye on. Mm-hmm. It might be a would you call him a buy low opportunity?
It would have to be pretty low. I mean, I just looked, and he's one of the few guys I've whiffed on. I was the highest on Drysdale on Fantasy Pros. I don't know. Like, he still has 8 points in 14 games. The power play is decent. You know, he's not even always on the first unit, but I don't think that changes too much. Because they seem to be splitting the time fairly evenly, which I don't really understand, but it's good from Drysdale's point of view. I mean, if someone's looking to give him away or close to it, then I probably would take the flyer. I'm just hoping that they end up changing these lines and these don't stick from his point of view. It's obviously great for Maroon, but it's kind of a disaster for Drysdale right now.
Yeah. Definitely something to keep an eye on.
For sure.
All right, let's do this a little bit. I think we should probably pick it up maybe a little bit. I don't know if the viewers want to keep... Or I keep saying viewers. Okay.
After this game, you know, we're going to run through whether guys are holding or not, and then, you know, guys that are worth streaming or not that have changed. That'll be a little bit more rapid fire. So.
Right. All right, let's do one more thing. Last podcast, we talked about how Montreal got embarrassed and how kind of funny it was. This time, Toronto gets embarrassed by the Kings 7-0. This game wasn't close at any point.
No.
So, any big takeaways from the Kings? Just dismantling Toronto?
I mean, I think if he's still available, you have to grab Budaj because the goals against is going to be great. He doesn't face any shots. He faced 19 shots to get the shutout.
Yeah, they're continually very strong in puck possession. They're number one in the league now in puck possession.
I mean, he hasn't faced more than like 24 shots the last four games he's played. Like, the Kings are just dominating the puck right now, and that's the biggest thing to me. I mean, Carter's starting to get rolling. He's got 3 goals the last 2 games. I should have took Derek Forbort in the 3-point challenge because he had 3 assists after 0 points the first 12 games. Dwight King is back on that 70s line again with Kopitar and – or not Kopitar, excuse me, Carter. And Toffoli.
Yep.
Bottom end streamer on days where, like, there's 3 games in the Kings play probably. Otherwise, like –
I'm not too excited about Dwight King prospects.
And, you know, Frederik Andersen was hot, and then he was a hot mess. And, you know, that's what you're going to get from him. And, you know, he had a super hot streak, and after yesterday's dud, he's back at 897 save percentage. It's just, it's going to be up and down, and it's not going to be that good. I still don't like anything to do with the Leafs goalie situation.
Any concern about Austin Matthews, Willie Nylander? They've both of them have just been grinded to almost an absolute halt in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Matthews only has 1 point in the last 5 games. Nylander is 2. I mean, they weren't going to be point-per-game players. We knew that. So, in that regard, no, not really.
All right,
Matthews had three shots,
17 minutes of ice time.
That was his lowest in the last 4 games, too. He had 4-6, 4-5 the games before that. He's over 4 shots a game, so at least he's giving you something there. I mean, I said even after that, I thought he would maybe get to 60 points now, considering the quick start. I still think that's about right for him, and Nylander probably about the same. I mean, I'd favor Matthews over him just because of the shots, but I mean, for dynasties, they're excellent, and for a redress, I mean, you have to hold tight, even with Nylander. There's too much talent to just let them go, and it's been some rough games for Toronto. It's natural for that to happen with a team that's doing that well, or excuse me, they're just that young. I mean, yeah, they had a 3-game win streak before that, but they blew out the Canucks. Who isn't these days, besides apparently the Rangers?
Yeah, like, we're going to have to, at the end of the podcast, we'll talk about that, because
yeah,
I don't know what the fuck that was.
They beat the Sabres 2-1, but it got dominated. Beat the Oilers 3-2 in overtime. And before that, they were lost 6-7. So it's going to be up and down with the Leafs. We know that. So it's the same with all their guys, really. It's going to be a bit of a roller coaster ride. But, I mean, that's what makes fantasy hockey fun sometimes, I guess. Right. You're gonna get weeks like you did in the beginning of the year where Nylander and Matthews are gonna get you, you know, 6 points in 4 games, and you're pumped about it. And then you're gonna get a week where they're -4 and don't score in 3
right,
games
or you get a combined 1 point and it's oh good.
Right.
Yeah,
it's just how it goes. I mean, it makes them a better play in roto leagues because you just leave them in and it'll work itself out by the end. But even in head-to-head, I mean, they're still clear holds.
Yep. All right, so now we're going to do a little bit of rapid fire. It's not about whether these – all right, are they holds or streamers?
Right. All right. I mean, these guys would be – top-end streamers, if they're available.
Most, these are right
very,
on the cusp. Yeah.
Very few of these guys are less than, you know, 20% owned, which is what my general, you know, I like to take guys that are lower than 20% for my 3 streamers of the night, just because they're available for almost everybody. But, I mean, these guys, if they're available, they should be, like, top-priority streamers.
All right, Andre Palat down in Tampa. I think he's a hold. Slow start, still available in 40% of leagues, or around 40% of leagues.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of time with him. It's not like the talent's not there. I think you're a hold on him as well.
Yeah, I mean, he's first power play unit. The shots are never great, but even if it gets to 2 a game, he's going to end up in the 50s in points more than likely. He's firmly in that top 6. I'm still holding him. He's available in a lot of the RCLs, and I don't know.
I'm surprised.
There's still too much upside, I think, to cut him at this point.
All right, David Krejci in Boston. I have as a streamer right now because I think a lot of that scoring is coming from the top line.
Yeah, I mean, he's running the point on the first power play unit still.
I know he scored against Buffalo on the power play, but then again, they had, like, it felt like the entire second period was 5-on-3.
But that's his only goal of the year so far. He's under 2 shots a game, which is about where he normally is, too. I mean, he had 46 assists last year. So if you are desperate for assists, I would probably still hold on to him, thinking that that's going to fix itself. But if you are solid in assists, like say you grabbed Wennberg and you got a big boost there right now, I would feel comfortable cutting Krejci. I would maybe try to just trade him, even if you get a bottom-end guy back that isn't great, but he's another guy who's good enough to hold. I would probably make that move at this point.
I would, for our listeners, any of these players we're talking about in this not-so-rapid rapid-fire right now, I would try and make a trade. I would try and trade Krejci for almost any single one of these guys.
Yeah, at least from the forwards.
Yeah. All right, let's keep going here. Thomas Tatar in Detroit. I have him as a hold. I think he's still producing enough. He gives you enough consistency. Where are you on this one?
I said in my daily notes that I prefer to stream him. It's really close, though, because his shots are up a lot. He's almost at 3 a game. So I guess I'll flip-flop and say I barely hold him right now. I mean, he's got 4 points the last 4 games, so that's enough, I guess, to change things for the very short term. But he's a guy I could see in a week that I cut bait with. I mean, he played over 21 minutes last game, but the minutes haven't really been there all along, so we'll have to see how that goes. But that's enough. Getting to play 21 minutes is enough for me to hold him, I guess, for now.
Okay. We already talked about Patrick Maroon. He's a hold, right? Just really quickly.
For sure.
All right. Radim Vrbata. All right, let's go with. All right, what do you think on this one? Because he's interesting.
I think I'm holding him for now. Domi's starting to pick it up, and he's playing with Domi. Vrbata's at 9 points in 12 games. The shots are starting to fall off a little bit, but he's still well over two a game, which is nice. I think that's going to increase. He's got a nice line across the board, really. So for now, I'm going to hold him.
All right, I'm on a hold as well, but it's not as confident as, say, a Palat or a...
No, I mean, I thought he was going to be an elite streamer for a while, Vrbata, and he played his way on to being, like, a bottom-end hold, which I think is where he still is. You know, he's one of those guys where when the Coyotes go through, like, a rough stretch of matchups, I would probably just dump him.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, he had a point. Do you have 1 or 2 points?
Two assists yesterday.
Yeah, and I think we, again, have to repeat, who did they play? The
Colorado.
The NHL medicine for every struggling offense in the Colorado Avalanche. So, we'll have to something to keep our eye on. In New Jersey, we have Travis Zajac. He has to be a hold because
we
of how
talked
much
about
playing him.
Right.
Pretty straightforward,
about
right? Just
hold,
people hold him.
I mean, he played 23 minutes last
night. Right. I mean, it's just fucking absurd.
I know it went to a shootout, but even still.
Right.
He had 4 shots, and he had 5 shots 2 games before that. Granted, there was a zero in the middle, but if the shots are even remotely passable, he's got to be held.
And for the Rangers, the Butcher, Buchnevich, pretty easy. This is a hold, right? We talked about.
Yeah, I mean.
There are 10, possibly 11 forwards on the Rangers that need to be held.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's a goal in 3 straight for him. He had 3 points last night. Actually, shout out to Scott. He actually called him getting 3 points. Yeah, it's solid across the board. He's plus threes. You know, the shots are inconsistent right now, but he's getting power play time. His goal was a power play goal with, he had a assist on the power play to Nash on the second unit. So it's enough right now. And like we talked about before, the next 3 games, Edmonton, Calgary, Vancouver, you got to hold them through the weekend.
Exactly. Patrick Eves for Dallas. This one's interesting because they're kind of struggling.
He had a goal and assist in that blowout yesterday, but he was minus -4.
Right.
I mean, I've been holding him. I mean, it's a little different. It's a 10-team roto league, and he's just sitting on my bench for the time being, so I'm not even playing him at all because, you know, in roto with the game's play limits. I'm probably still holding him in 12ers. I mean, 8 points and, you know, 2.5 shots a game. He's playing big minutes. He got not only 15 minutes yesterday, but the game was a blowout. The
game was out of hand, yeah.
Right. I think I'm holding for now, but it's close.
Yeah, I'm holding as well, but not, again, one of
the. He's a guy, he's only 5% owned, I believe, or it's single digits on ESPN, so he's available most places, so you can stream him for now. But, you know, Dallas has got the same thing as the Rangers. Next 3 games, at Calgary, at Edmonton, at Vancouver.
Yeah, you'd expect Dallas to get going in the scoring department.
Yeah,
a lot of high-scoring games out there.
Yeah.
Well, except against Calgary, because apparently they can't fucking score anymore. Josh Bailey for the Islanders. What are you thinking here?
Top-end stream, I think.
I'm with you on this one. Is this the first one that we've just said stream? First one I've said that's a stream. No. Second one. I said Krejci was a stream
Krejci,
as well.
Yeah. It's just up and down with Bailey and... The Islanders don't look that great right now.
They look bad. I'll just clarify what you said. They look bad.
Yeah, I mean, they won, but last game, but again, it was Vancouver. The shots aren't good. I mean, it's a decent plus-minus, actually, that the top line for the Islanders has been fine. But, yeah, I'm just going to stream him.
Nino Niederreiter up in Minnesota, sliding into that top line in Parise's place. After Parise went down with the injury. Mm-hmm. This is pretty straightforward, right? This is a hold?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, just the opportunity is great. He scored over 20 goals 2 straight years before this year. So, I mean, I have little doubt that he can perform. I mean, it's been a relatively slow start for him, so I guess you can get away with just streaming him. But the Wild have played two games this month. They've, you know, by the time they play Thursday, they'll have played two games in 11 days. But then they play Tuesday, Saturday, Sunday. Tuesday, you know, they start playing every other day with back-to-backs in this. So the Wild are going to have a very tight schedule. So you're getting extra games out of Nino by holding him too.
Smart.
So, yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me to just hold him for the time being.
All right, now I believe we get to go to the Carolina defenseman. We talked about people were going to have to step up in the absence of Justin Falk's injury.
Yeah, so he's week to week, just to clarify. We weren't sure last time. It's going to be a little while.
Yeah, Falk, so we have Brett Pesce and Jakob Slavin. We're just going to lump them together.
Yeah.
I think, I can't believe I'm going to say this, I think they're both holds, especially if you own Justin Falk. I think either one of these are holds. Like, they both had an assist on the same goal.
Right, on the power play.
Yeah, so
It makes things interesting. If your bottom end defensemen are bad, I wouldn't mind taking the shot. I think I would do it on Slavin.
I was going to say Slavin as well.
I mean, he played 26 minutes. Pesce played 4. Trying to look at their overall stats. I mean, the slots are marginally better for Slavin. The minutes are marginally better. It's definitely going to be bottom end. It's, you know, it's not going to be great either way. If you have Falk, I think it makes more sense to do in that case, because then you can just, it's not a long-term solution. You're going to have to cut bait the second Falk comes back. So it makes more sense if you own Falk to replace him with the Carolina guy. It really depends on the bottom of your roster. I could see taking the shot. I could see leaving them on the waiver wire, too. I think the more telling thing to me is that Hanifin, despite the injury, still only played 18 minutes in an overtime game. He didn't get the boost that I expected, so I'm still leaving him on the waiver wire, too. He's another guy. It's close for all three of these Carolina guys right now, so it depends how desperate you are, really.
Yeah. I was going to say the same. I think they're streamers at this point. Slavin, if you're going to hold one of them, it would be Slavin.
Yeah.
But, all right, let's what else do we have on the list here? Oh, we have some other guys that are they worth streaming. So this is a lower tier than the list of players we talked about now.
Yeah, just to give an update to everyone on, you know, these are all guys that, say, in the last week even, with the exception of, like, one or two of these guys, have just played their way onto the streamer radar. So it's worth bringing them up for everybody.
All right. We have Maroon listed here, but he's already a hold in our
book. Yeah, we already agreed on that.
Martinuk in Arizona. Let's do this real quick. I'm streaming him. First power play unit. Looks good. Had, I think it was a goal and assist or two goals.
I think he scored twice yesterday.
Yeah, I mean,
He centered the first line. They shuffled the lines during the game, and he was centering Domi and Verbata. So that's plenty enough to be worth streaming.
Yep. All right, Cal Clutterbuck.
I did stream him against you the other day. Granted, it was against Vancouver, and it was only a 3-game slate. That's kind of what I'm looking at with Clutterbuck. He's getting big minutes. He's playing on the first line right now.
Yeah, that
seems insane.
Yeah, don't worry. That'll keep John Tavares in Brooklyn. Yeah. Yeah, great
but,
job.
I mean, if it's a short slate, again, I would consider it, like, people are going to be listening to this Thursday. They're playing at Tampa. Like, I'm not going to stream him most nights.
No.
It's only on, like, a very small slate. I'll say Dwight King's next. It's the same exact thing as Clutterbuck to me. If there's only, like, less than a handful of games, I would definitely consider it. Otherwise, probably not.
Yeah. Paul Byron in Montreal played on the top line at the end of the game. I think it was a goal and assist or two goals.
Goal and assist.
I think he's worth the streamer, mainly because Montreal is just playing really well.
That's the big thing to me, too. I mean, the plus minus is going to be a nice boost, which a lot of people need right now.
I know I need it. So.
Yeah, God. It was another minus 8 yesterday. But Yeah, I mean, he played almost 15 minutes. They apparently decided they wanted to balance out the lines a bit and put him with Galchenyuk and Radulov, and they each had 2 points. The way Montreal's playing right now, I'd have to at least consider streaming him. I mean, they play the Kings Thursday night, which is a rough matchup the way the Kings are playing defensively right now. But then next week, you know, they got a game with Carolina, a game with Toronto. So I could see, assuming he holds this this role for a week, I could definitely see streaming him in those games.
Yeah. All right, is this – we have Lindholm.
Are
we going to do both Lindholms? Because –
yeah, Hampus is supposed to play Wednesday night. I think you probably should grab him
and if hold he's available him. Yeah, and hold him.
I'll keep my eye on it. I'm going to watch a bunch of these Ducks games this weekend. Columbus tonight.
Hey, hold on. Can I come over and watch them? Is that all right? All right. No?
Sure.
All right, perfect, yeah.
They got Columbus, Carolina, and Nashville.
Oh, those are good matchups for
before
them,
we
too.
Podcast next. I just want to see how Fowler and Vatanen get affected by Lindholm coming back.
Yeah, it could be one of those try and sell high on Fowler.
Yeah,
AKA,
exactly.
I own Fowler and all the leagues that I'm in, so I'm probably going to try and ship him somewhere really quickly.
Elias Lindholm on the first line for Carolina.
I think he's at least a streamer. I think he probably should have been considered for the whole, but like,
I haven't seen enough of him yet, enough from him yet to do it. I mean, he only has 2 points in 12 games so far, minus six. But I mean, if he sticks with those two, Stepniak did well in that role before. It's worth taking the chance on, at least for the short term.
Yeah, the minutes were a little bit skewed in this game. I'm still trying to figure out why Sebastian Aho only had 12 minutes of ice time, and the Neanderthal Jordan Staal had. Fuck, 20?
20.
God. Okay. Well, I mean, I guess New Jersey did have 3 power plays, so maybe that was it. Also, here you go, NHL.com. You ready for this? Carolina won 40% of the faceoffs. New Jersey won 61%. Yeah, just think about that one for a second, people. Let's do some simple math there. Schmaltz, what are you thinking here?
I mean, I was streaming Tyler Mott before. Mott is out a couple weeks, so Schmaltz is going to get a chance in the top six. They're saying right now that he's going to play with Taves and Kane. Why Quenneville ever splits up Panarin and Isimov-Kane is beyond me. But even if it's with Taves and Hossa, that's a great opportunity for him. We saw Panic do very well there. I honestly don't know why he's on the third line right now. But, yeah, that's enough for Schmaltz to be a streamer. I put him on there for Wednesday night because it's only a 3-game slate and he's available in like 99% of leagues. So worth keeping an eye on for sure.
Yeah. Let's go to Todd Bertuzzi's kid in Detroit.
Tyler.
Yeah. Love the way the old man played, you know, minus the sucker punch.
Mm-hmm.
He's playing on the top line, which, interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting to say the least.
I don't know if it'll stick.
I'm probably not streaming him.
Yeah, I'm going to just wait and see. I mean, thing is, if you're ever going to do it, they play the Canucks Thursday night. So, in a deep league, I think, you know, he's going to be a guy who's widely available that is a decent option. But in a 12-er, they'll just be better choices.
Yep. Teddy Purcell.
Worth streaming to me.
Okay.
You know, he's on the first line, which, you know, honestly is enough. You know, playing with Kopitar is a gift, and Pearson, too, is playing fairly well. I mean, he's obviously slowed down from his hotter-than-a-pistol start. But, yeah, it's enough for me. I mean, he had streaks last year in Edmonton and throughout his career, really, where Purcell does fairly well for himself. So I think he's worth streaming.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, if anyone's going to score for the Kings, it's going to be the top two lines.
Right.
So, Matt Reed in Philadelphia. Odd line combinations they have there.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to stick or not, but he was getting shifts, apparently, with Giroux and Simmons. I admittedly didn't see any of that game. If that's the case, you have to stream him. I mean, he's scored a decent amount of goals this year already. He's shown to do well in the past. I mean, I don't necessarily think it's going to stick, but for the short term, it's worth keeping an eye on for sure.
Yeah, I'm in the boat with you on that one. Laterra down in St. Louis, stream.
Yeah, hold. I mean, I don't think he's a hold. We've talked about him before. He just doesn't do enough. Apparently, he's not even on a power play unit.
Then I take back the comment of the hold. There was a question mark at the end of hold, by the
right.
way.
Right, no, I know. But getting to play on the first line with Tarasenko and Schwartz is enough to stream him. Yep. Yeah.
All right, is it Brandon Point?
Braden Point.
What? Fuck it. Close enough. Braden Point. What are you looking at here?
A second line, second power play unit on Tampa, who's a high scoring team. Tyler Johnson starting to pick it up. Platt's off a big game. Those are his line mates. So I'm probably streaming him for now. I mean, there's a chance it turns into something more. He has a decent amount of talent. Point. It's definitely not enough to hold for now, but he's somebody in dynasties, I think, that could end up doing fairly well for himself. There's also the chance that they use him for a trade piece elsewhere, too. So, yeah, for now, I mean, he's on the bottom end of the streaming list for sure, but it's definitely somebody, you know, for deeper leagues that could be available or on a short slate again.
Yeah, I agree. Being on a top line or a top six role in Tampa is sort of it's definitely something I'm going to say, you know what, let's just roll with it.
For sure. I think it's second easy power stream. Play unit for a Tampa, I mean, second unit's got Hedman, Kucherov, Killorn, him, and Filippo on the point. Like, it's not really far off the first unit. I mean, it doesn't have Stamkos, but otherwise, it's got, like, most of the guys I would want there, so.
It's still got a fucked on a talent.
That's what I mean. So that in itself is another boost.
All right. So that was the end of, I think, of our streaming list. Mm-hmm. Yes. Okay. So it looks like we have a topic suggestion from, do you have the name of this person? All I have in the notes is what the suggestion is.
God, I'll look it up. Just right. Start talking about it.
All right, so the topic is, how do I handle the end-of-the-week goalie strategy in a head-to-head matchup?
Mm-hmm.
So I guess we have to lay out the different scenarios. So let's just assume.
Well, okay, at what point in the week do you start becoming conscious on, like, I'm not going to play every goalie? Like, Monday through Thursday, you're probably rolling everybody no matter what, right?
Right, yeah. I would say if you have a goalie, say you have, who did we just talk about that has a ton of games coming up? Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
If you have Dubnyk, say he has four games in your matchup this week.
Right.
Say they play Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday, Sunday, which I believe they might actually do at some coming up.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
Say the Thursday matchup is not a very good one. Say it's like at Tampa or something.
Mm-hmm.
Then you might consider, well, I'm already getting at least two, possibly three other starts from him. Then I think it's okay to like pick your shot.
Okay, so Thursday is the swing day for you.
Right. For me, I think Thursday, and it also depends on how many matchups do I get. So if, say I have three goalie starts coming up in a week that I know my goalie is giving up no more than two goals and I'm going to win at least two of these games, then I think you can deserve to be picky. But this can all change. So say our money league, I did something I never thought I'd do. I drafted goalies early, where I have Corey Schneider and Ben Bishop. I think there was a night where Ben Bishop gave up like four or five goals or something on a Tuesday. That scrapped any plans I had of being selective about my starts, and I had to roll my goalies no matter what the rest of the week. Didn't matter what the numbers were, because I needed to make up points.
Yeah, I mean, if you're down in the, I mean, that's a, if you're down, I'm never benching guys. Like,
right, you have to, you just have to take the shot on it. Hey, who knows? Maybe he puts up
also,
a monster performance.
If you're in a league where you get saves counted as a category, I'm never sitting a guy because I don't want to risk losing saves at the potential risk of losing goals against and save percentage. I mean, it also comes down to the quality of the goalie. But on the other hand, if I'm behind those categories, you don't even think about it. When you're ahead on, say, Sunday, obviously look to see if the guy you're playing even has a goalie. Because if he doesn't have a goalie, then why would you bother playing your guy? You're, like, reverse free-rolling yourself, you know what I mean?
Right.
It was Shitwolf who asked me this. I should have remembered that. Keep a track of your opponent starts, look at their schedule even going ahead. Thursday is a really big slate generally, which means I'm probably just rolling my guys still on Thursday no matter what, unless like I got like two or three shutouts to start the week or something, like something to the massive extreme. Because, you know, if you start sitting guys that early, you're almost certainly going to end up losing wins. Which I don't want to take the loss in any category that early in the week.
Right.
Friday is a short slate usually. Saturday is where things, you know, you really have to decide, is it worth playing this guy or not?
So you would think Saturday is the big decision?
I mean, I guess
there.
Friday, because Friday you might only have, you know, three games, but if one of your goalies plays, that's going to set up everything. I mean, if you play your guy Friday and then he gets bombed, then you're going to play everyone over the weekend. If he does really well, then you're going to sit guys Saturday. So Friday could be a swing day. I'd say Thursday you play your guys, and it's largely going to predicate what you're doing over the weekend. Some people just don't pay any attention to it and just roll their goalies every time no matter what. I don't really hate that unless you're winning all the categories and you see the guy you're playing as nobody, then it doesn't do you any good. It's an interesting debate for sure, and something that changes a lot when you get to like the fantasy playoffs, because the fantasy playoffs are 2 weeks long and you have to decide how early you want to, you know, pull the plug then, so to speak. In a normal week, I'd say the weekend is when I start to not just start everybody I can.
Yeah, I agree on that. Other scenarios.
Like, just to reiterate, like, I don't care if I was owning, like, if I owned Frederik Andersen for some reason, you know, and they played, like, Edmonton on Monday, I'm not going to sit him. You know, the week just started, maybe I'll get a win. And if I get an extra win and I'm up, you know, two or three wins going to the weekend and I'm winning all the goalie categories, that makes it safer to sit guys when you know. If you're up two wins and the guy's going to have two goalies Saturday and Sunday, then it's too risky to sit him. But if you're up, you know, three wins, then it gets more interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of critical thinking that has to go into the decisions that you make. Especially skaters, you just play whoever the fuck you can.
Yeah, you're never going to sit.
There's only one way you wouldn't play a skater is if it's, the only way I could think about this would be, it's Sunday.
Latest game Sunday.
Latest game Sunday.
Plus minus.
Right, latest game Sunday, your opponent isn't playing anybody and you're up like two or one in the plus minus.
Right. Assuming the other categories can't get changed, then yeah.
Right.
Sure.
Then that's where I say, you know what? Like, even though it's only a one or two point victory in the plus minus, it's still a victory.
Right. It's all the same.
Right. So, yeah, I mean, with goalies, there's so much more critical thinking that has to go into it. This is why fantasy hockey is better than fantasy football. I'll try and keep Viz off of the rant that I know he has about fantasy football compared to fantasy hockey.
For sure.
Compared to
all the fantasy sports, mm-hmm. Like I've played all of them for years. I've played football, baseball, and hockey for probably 15 plus years now. I've played basketball for over five, soccer too. And football is just the biggest crapshoot out of all of them. There's no doubt about that.
Right. It's almost the simpleton fantasy of fantasy sports. You are all smart, critical thinkers, and I know this because you're listening to this podcast. Therefore, you know that going in and researching your matchups, it's not even that. It takes five minutes. It takes 5 fucking minutes to look up who your opponent has in net, what the matchups your opponent has, right, and then your own goalie matchups.
I mean, if you want to go even next level and you're looking Saturday and you're not sure what to do, look at the other guys' goalies who they're playing. Look at the betting line and see what it is. You know, if he's got a goalie who's, you know, their team is -200 to win, just safely assume that he's going to get that win, and it's a bonus if he doesn't. Same with your goalies. You know, if your goalie is a massive underdog, then that obviously gives you more inclination to bench the guy. But it's going to take you a couple minutes on a Saturday. You know, it's not rocket science, and that's really as deep as you can go. I mean, you look at the matchups for both sides, decide, you know, just play what the most likely outcome is, risk-reward. I'd say for people in leagues that still count shutouts, I don't even take that into effect. Like, if you're tied in shutouts, but you're one of the other categories, whatever. Like, if your opponent gets a shutout, congrats. It's so rare that I don't even play goalies to hope to get a shutout. It seems kind of like futile.
That's the crapshoot right there.
Like, in my old, our old Roto League, the big money one I did, we used to include shutouts, and I'm like, why do we bother? It's so absurd. You're going to tie most weeks in a head-to-head. In a Roto League, what does it matter? You're already getting a zero goals against and 1,000 save percentage. What do you need the shutout category for? It's such a fluky stat, too. Like, you look at the top goalies, and they don't necessarily get the most shutouts. It's a random stat to include, so don't even play to try to get a shutout or anything, in my mind.
Yep. I'm with you on that one.
All right.
So should
be good enough on that, I think.
Yeah, I think we're... if you guys have any other questions or topic suggestions, again, just post it in the comments section.
Please do.
Yeah. All right, let's go to the three-point challenge. We have a ton of winners from Tuesday night.
So now you, Vic, and Shitwolf have two each.
I'm going to run it three in a row. Let's go.
And Matt and... Scott just got their first. Current points leaders. Vamp for me for a second. Look at the games quick and see what you like while I get up the top 10 in points.
I'm looking. I'm not really liking what I'm seeing, but I'm looking. Obviously, I cannot go back to the Shifley Wells, so that's...
Yeah. Yeah, he is now top 10. I have
he is he is top, like one. He is first in the league in points.
Right. I'm not going to count Raquel still. So we're at Crosby, Anisimov, Shifley, Kucherov, Kane, McDavid, Foligno, Getzlaff, Wenberg, Pasternak. Any games that stand out to you? I mean, it's looking kind of rough. I mean, Calgary, Dallas, and Winnipeg, Arizona, right? Those are the top two games. I mean, if you're feeling bold about a Detroit guy getting 3 points, but that's tough to do. I guess the Ducks, you can't take Getzlaff, though. The Ducks guys, Carolina just gives up a ton of goals normally. Boston buried Columbus the first game when they... Backus, Marchand, and Pasternak get 4 or 5 points each, depending on the guy.
Yeah, I actually do want to talk one thing before we get into the three-point challenge, I guess, predictions. Brandon Saad, what the fuck happened? I was reading reports that he might be a healthy scratch. He's at least down on the fourth line at best.
I don't understand. Like, they put him up there with Hartnell, which blows my mind because Hartnell's possession numbers have been absolutely atrocious. Saad is 8 points in 5 games. He was on a 4-game point streak, and then they put him down the fourth line. Like, in what world does this make sense? He He's one of their best possession players. He's at like 55%. Hartnell's at 44. Like, Hartnell's not good anymore. Come on, Torts, wake up. It's infuriating to me. And I'm glad Dubinsky's not playing today, only because Saad should never be scratched. It does not make any sense.
I mean, they made the trade for him. You think that they would, you know, use him.
Yeah. Like, they scored 10 goals 2 games ago. Like, what are you panicking about? So you scored 1 goal against at the Blues. Blues are a very, very good
Blues
team.
Blues are a very good team.
Like, what are you doing? Don't change anything.
Dude, I know.
Yeah. Preaching to the choir. I know. Yeah. It's just frustrating.
All right. You want to go through that list one more time?
Sure. Crosby and Isimov, Shifley, Kucherov, Kane, McDavid, Foligno, Getzlaff, Wennberg, Pasternak.
Okay. I'm going to go with Tyler Seguin of the Dallas Stars.
He just misses, and I was looking at him, too.
It's okay. I mean, hey, maybe you can get on the board since
I'm on the board in the basketball one. I nailed CJ McCollum for 30 points yesterday.
There it is.
Naturally, I can get basketball right, and I can't get hockey. Ugh. Oh, well.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Tyler Seguin. The other interesting one in my mind is, well, there's the other game that I think is sort of standing out to me is St. Louis and Nashville. We had good Pekka Rinne.
Nashville's starting to pick it up. Neil's right. Picking it up. Subban, they're starting to play better, for sure.
Right, we had good Pekka Rinne, but how long does good Pekka Rinne actually stay around? Yeah. Which is why I think there are two guys in that game where I was actually leaning. I wasn't going to go with Seguin. I was debating between Ryan Johansson, who I think has looked so much better in the past couple games. And then I was debating Alex Steen, but I can't do it.
Yeah.
Because Tarasenko is not available, correct?
No, you could take Tarasenko.
Well, huh. Yeah, I'm gonna stick with my gut. I'm gonna still say Tyler Seguin. I think Calgary is just horrible.
Yeah.
Right now, and if Derek Englund gets over 15 minutes of ice time, Tyler Seguin's just gonna have a fucking field day.
Yeah, I can't disagree with that at all. I was actually thinking about going with Ben or him.
What happened last time? You didn't.
Yeah, I know, right? I mean, Pittsburgh, Minnesota should be a tight game. Kings, Montreal. I mean, if that game gets 5 goals, I'd be surprised. I don't feel good enough about anybody on Detroit. Tampa is kind of interesting. Stamkos is outside. They play the Islanders. Stamkos is outside of the top 10 now. But you can't take Kucherov. What to do? Alright. I'm going to take Blake Wheeler.
Yeah!
The top line's been going off, but Wheeler's just been kind of slowly getting a point. Here's an assist, here's an assist. The minutes are still there. I feel like it's only a matter of time for him to just dominate a game.
Yes.
I mean, he has that kind of talent. There's no doubt in my mind about that. Looking at some of the other stats for Arizona, they're a mess defensively right now. They have the third worst penalty kill in the league at 73%, which is a huge boost to Wheeler and, you know, Shifley and Laney for that matter. But they've given up the fifth most goals in the league, and they've only played 12 games when a lot of teams have played 14. They're a mess defensively right now. They're surprisingly a favorite in the game over the Jets, which I'm probably going to end up betting on Winnipeg, and I may well bet over 5.5 goals, too. I don't know. I got this feeling that Wheeler's going to break out of this mini slump with, like, a goal, 2 assists, 6-shot game. So I'm going to go with Wheeler.
Yeah, I did a stream Domingue against you. I think it was Monday. Yeah, Monday night. And got a nice 4-2 win over Colorado against you. But, yeah, that's pretty much it.
Yeah, so, it's...
Let's just put it this way. Domingue will not be starting for my team at home against Winnipeg.
No, that's just playing with fire.
Oh, yeah, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, yeah, that's it, right?
Yeah, we're all set.
All right, yeah, so... yeah, I hope
world you... World-class ending right here.
Yeah, I know, we're really just killing it with this ending.
I'm not editing this out either. It's
yeah, we got to just leave it in. Just again, yeah. I don't even know if this is what the people want, but I mean, who knows? I mean, apparently the people want dumb fucking shit. So
yeah, I mean, we'll plan on doing a Monday podcast again for Tuesday. I mean, there's a chance that I won't be able to do Monday at the poker tournament I'm playing this weekend. The final table is on Monday. Which I made last year, so it would be nice to do that well again. But it's a long shot going into the tournament, nonetheless. Either way, we'll have one either for Tuesday or Wednesday.
Might have to be an emergency recording early Tuesday morning.
Yeah, that's true, too. Have a good weekend, everybody.
Yeah, good luck out there, fantasy owners.
Talk to you soon.
All right, sounds good.